You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. The sound at the start of another edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning, the Saturday edition. I'm your host, Mike Blewett, along with Matt Modica and George Kurtz. We'll take you around the horn in MLB for the next 2 hours. We got some football decisions to make. Matt Modica sitting at number one in a draft. We're going to discuss his strategy at some point during the day, and we're hoping you all had a good week, maybe as good a week as John Segura and Scooter Gennett. Not sure, but hopefully we can get your Saturday off to that kind of day. Hit a bunch of homers, get paid a bunch of money. George, how are you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing well. Ready for the weekend to come, right? Weather warming up, man. Maybe baseball balls will be flying out of the parks even more than they already have.
Yeah, summer's in the air for sure. Speaking of, just a couple of, you know, Matt Modica, I have to give him credit, George. He came in repping the guys that he liked to talk about all spring long as we head into the summer. He came in repping a Twins hat. Irvin Santana throws a Major League Best third shutout yesterday. And you know what? Matt Modica was right. He said, you know what? If you can get Santana a little bit later, I think he's going to provide a lot of value. I don't think any of us expected this, George. 8-3, 2.2 ERA in his third shutout of the year.
Third shutout of the year is pretty incredible. In this day and age, that's almost unheard of for an entire season, more or less the first, what, 60, 65 games? So Santana, yeah, could be one of those fantasy MVP-type players right now.
Yeah, for certain. And Matt, what do you think it is about Santana that's allowed him to – do you think it's just a matter of time getting comfortable in this ballpark? What is it that he's off to such a good start? I mean, he could literally start the All-Star game right now.
It started last June. And, look, he's always been a good pitcher, never a great pitcher. This run he's been on, and it's pretty much been a calendar year, is just amazing. Sometimes, you know, I think I heard Pedro saying it last month on MLB Network – you know, sometimes guys just settle in. They have their home. Their whole life gets, you know, settled, as I mentioned. And it's just, look, he's pitching above his head. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I looked at him as a really nice option for the back of a rotation. but I know what he did last season was I had him, and when I lost Kershaw, I plugged him in, and he was great. But I mean, I didn't expect, you know, this to keep continuing at this level.
Yeah, and this was a 91-pitch effort. It gave up 4 hits and a walk, 5 Ks. It couldn't have been any more efficient. I mean, Edison Volquez had the 89-pitch no-hitter, and Santana obviously gives up a few hits, but just as efficient.
I mean, 5 complete games and 4 shutouts in basically a year.
That's crazy. And he went up against Matt Moore yesterday, who, thank God, I cut bait on him a while back. He didn't pitch terribly yesterday. Only gives up the 4 runs in the 6 innings, but his ERA is still well over 5, and he's 2-7 on the year.
Yeah, Matt Moore is just, it's not going according to plan.
Yeah. So we'll kick on. We'll kick out some stats from some other games. We're going to update some injuries that are of importance. And George will make a decision on who Matt gets to pick in his number one overall in his NFL draft. We'll talk about that and more the next 2 hours on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Here we are on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Listen in. It's like Flaming Lips, it sounds like. in any event, thank you for joining us on this Saturday. Again, Matt, Mike, and George are here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hit us up on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Radio. That's at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And Matt Modica is at CTM Baseball. And I just found out, listening to the show the other day, what CTM stands for. George, do you know this? CTM Baseball.
I know Matt's told me. I'm assuming Matt's told me, but no, I don't remember.
Charging the mound baseball.
Didn't know that.
Very aggressive.
See, George, you learn something new every day.
Very aggressive Twitter.
Charging
handle.
The mound. Is that a nice thing on a family-oriented show? What are you, Bryce Harper?
Well, listen, we have some unsavory. Matt is not one of them, but we have some more unsavory characters on this network than Matt Modica. Wouldn't you say?
That's putting it kindly.
Well, you can give us a call today if you like. If you want to talk to this the more clean-cut crew on this Saturday morning, you can give us a call at 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. So just going around, just picking some highlights from some other games. George, you pick on the Yankees for a second. Our guy Aaron Hicks hits two more homers yesterday, and he is really, as Matt and I were talking about before the show, he's instilled a lot of confidence in fantasy owners. He's instilled a lot of confidence in Joe Girardi, and here he goes, another couple of homers for Aaron Hicks.
And more importantly, I put him in my Who's Hot list yesterday, so hey,
atta
got
boy.
One right. Yeah, we're going to go at least 1-for-10.
So thoughts on Aaron Hicks?
Hicks, yeah. The good news about Hicks is, I heard what Girardi said yesterday. Even when Ellsbury comes back, Hicks is going to play. It looks like more like Ellsbury is going to be that fourth outfielder. He's going to be the Aaron Hicks of last year. He'll play when someone needs a break. You know, they're not going to take Aaron Judge out of the lineup. Lord knows that guy's a monster. Gardner's having a very good season. And we've seen Hicks now is having an all-star season. So Ellsbury's going to be the player left without a job there. He'll be the backup. Hicks has been hitting from the right side and the left side. He already has more home runs and RBIs, I believe. Definitely home runs. I think he has more RBIs also than last season. It's June 10th. He's had a fantastic season. He's finally reaching the prospect status that he had with the Twins. He was once a top prospect with the Twins. And they traded him for the catcher for the backup catcher. I don't even think he's in the majors anymore. So a pretty nice trade there for Brian Cashman.
Yeah, I mean, Hicks he's just been phenomenal. He's one of the reasons why I do believe in the Yankees this season, and I think they just have to go out and get one more pitcher. And also, we if you look at the Mets and the Yankees, we always talk about, you know, where are these guys going to play, this and that. There's no room. It seems like there's always room that opens up. I mean, and I think the Ellsbury injury for the Yankees was a blessing in disguise. I'm not wishing anybody to get seriously hurt. I know he's dealing with a concussion. But, Aaron Hicks at this point is the guy you want in that lineup every day.
Yeah, obviously the Yankees did a really nice job. They piled on late. Dylan Bundy actually had an okay start. But Edwin Jackson, by the way, it was just one of those names that I was reading through the box score. So I was like, oh, there's Edwin Jackson.
Yeah, he
it wasn't exactly a highlight last night, but he just came back.
Yeah, Buck was talking about him and saying how versatile he was. He's like the baseball pitcher cockroach that just will never die and never go away. He just keeps coming back.
He's 33 years old, but he's been in the league 14 years, and it had me thinking, like, I didn't remember that he came up at such an early age, mm-hmm. but Edwin Jackson was basically pitching in the majors when he was a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's, you know, he was well-regarded. He had some time. He's pitched a no-hitter and stuff like that. He's had flashes here or there. Even last season with the Padres, he had a couple of really good starts when he first came up. But, I mean, especially in the American League.
A couple other notes on this game. Machado was out, obviously, for fantasy owners. Keep an eye on that. Still day-to-day, as Matt and I were saying. And, George, you sort of banged this drum pretty consistently. If he's going to be out a few days, considering the way he's struggling, why don't you just throw him on the 10-day, clear his head, get him healthy, and bring him back after that? Do you agree?
Yeah, more than likely. This was a wrist injury, which means it's something that might linger anyway.
Awesome.
Machado himself has come out and said he doesn't know if he'll play this weekend. He got slid into. If you didn't see the play, it was a tag play at third base. It was certainly wasn't a dirty play, so let's not go there again, but it was a high slide. You know, it wasn't like he got spiked. He actually got slammed into his wrist. You can see the wrist bend the wrong way. So it's definitely some kind of sprain, maybe a bruise going on there. And it could take, you know, the weekend. I understand Buck probably doesn't want to lose him for the entire Yankee series, you know, so I get it, but I think you guys know what my belief is. It's a 10-day DL. He's already missed, what, 2-3 games?
Mm-hmm.
If you know he's not going to play the next two, why not just give him the extra 5 days off, get that wrist completely healed? That's me. I tend to play it safe here. I would have him on the DL.
Yeah, a couple other highlights. Starlin Castro hit his 10th homer, George, and beyond that, Jordan Montgomery. I didn't want to bury the lead because he had pitched really well again. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 8 Ks for Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah, pitching well. Starlin Castro is a dangerous hitter when he's taking the ball to right field. You know, sometimes if you watch his swing, you watch the Yankees, he bails out. You know, his swing gets a little long, he maybe gets a little pull happy, but he bails out against right-handers. But when he stays in there and is willing to take the ball to right field, especially in Yankee Stadium where the ball flies out to right, He's extremely dangerous. You saw that last night, long home run to right center field there. Jordan Montgomery has been almost a godsend for the Yankees. It's where would they be without him?
It's huge.
I mean, Matt said it. The Yankees probably need at least one starting pitcher to be considered a serious threat this season by the trade deadline here. Montgomery's been very, very good. Consistent. It's really where he's been consistent. You know, he keeps you in ball games. Got off to a rough start yesterday. That first inning looked ugly, right? He had a couple of runs, runners on first and second. He got out of it, limited the damage, and the Yankee offense took over from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good sign, as George said, really good sign of him pitching his way out of trouble, maturing in the process.
Yeah, Montgomery's a guy. I do love watching him pitch. He is a competitor. He's not the most talented guy out there, but he battles. And, you know, pitching in the Yankee Stadium, pitching in the American League is not an easy task. And like George, like that first inning, it really could have went all wrong. And minimizing the damage there, he went, what, 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. And in deeper leagues especially. I mean, I have him in some 12 teams, but in the 15-team leagues, he's been a godsend. And going back to Sterling Castro real quick, mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is – he's been a great addition to the Yankees. He's been solid. He loves playing at Yankee Stadium.
You got him for nothing.
Yeah, and it's kind of odd, though. All his 10 home runs are versus right-handers. He hasn't hit one yet against a lefty. But, I mean, the Yankees, besides Chase Headley, he's like the one hole that they just need to...
I'd say that's being kind.
Yeah.
First base, too.
Yeah, first base is... That's true. I mean, Chris Carter...
First base has been worse than Headley.
Didn't Chris Carter, like, swing at a pitch in, like, his face the other night or something?
Hitting 195. Chris Carter. Holiday actually
He's the definition of all or nothing.
Holiday actually started at first last night because Girardi knows he's got a liability out there. Remember people wondering, like, hey, how come Chris Carter only got 1 year for $3 million? He hit all these homers last year.
Now you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if Holiday could play some first base, that will help him. I mean, Greg Bird, can he come back? And I mean, that I don't think Greg Bird is an excellent, like, prospect, but I think that Park is perfect for him and everything. So I think, you could still get a couple of good months out of Greg Bird, and that could really salvage that. A
couple more hits for Gary Sanchez and a couple of runs scored. So for those of you hoping for bigger things, we got signs of life here in the last few days. The homers the other day, a couple more hits last night. I would mention Castro. Look, there's a long way to go, but hitting .319 with an .858 OPS, I would not have had my hand raised if those were the predictions that you had for him. So moving on to, a guy that I would consider Charlie Blackmon to becoming one of the show mascots for no other reason other than that we talked about him for a while a couple of weeks ago and how he's criminally underrated and not talked about. Hits another homer last night, so Charlie Blackmon continues his tear, Matt.
Charlie Blackmon is one of the best players in baseball, hands down. Besides looking like a cross between Jesus Christ and Charles Manson, with that beard. I mean, the guy just does everything. He's an exceptional player. It's not just Colorado. I hate when people just get knocked on for that. This is a really good player. Deserves all the accolades. And if he was a guy that was going late first round, maybe even early second round in some instances, and, if you drafted him, you're loving life right now.
Yeah, 336. They took out the Cubs 5-3 yesterday. George, the Cubs are 30-30, 60 games into this season. What's the deal?
Maybe a little bit of a World Series hangover here. The pitching staff hasn't quite been where it should be. They've had several problems with certain players. Addison Russell's turning into a disaster this season. And he's got the personal issue with domestic violence investigation, so that's a problem as well. I think the Cubs will be fine. No one's running away with that division. I still think they're within a couple of games, right? Isn't Milwaukee in first place? That lets you know all you need to know about how the National League Central is going.
Yeah, the Cardinals 5 games below .500. A couple of rumors there about Matheny, maybe hot seat, which is not a normal thing you hear from the Cardinals. Typically, stable organization. They stick with people over a long period of time, but Matheny could be in a little bit of trouble here.
Yeah, I do believe so. It's not going good in series.
All right, we'll continue to take a look at some box scores, highlight some guys that had big nights last night. We'll update you on injuries, which is a necessary segment at this time of the year. So Mike, Matt, and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Back on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Matt, Mike, and George. Feel free to join. Come, go to rotoexperts.com. We're going to be coming out with a football exclusive edge package any day now. But the Roto Experts exclusive edge in-season fantasy baseball package is still your ultimate bench coach for the 2017 season. So stay ahead of the pack with our in-depth statistical breakdowns, trend analyses, and player insights. Become a waiver wizard and learn how to scan the numbers like a Roto scientist. We'll help you set the ideal lineups every week. And this season, you get the built-in training staff with our new injury advisor powered by InsideInjuries.com. And you should listen here for Dr. A, who joins us every week on the Roto Experts in the Morning to give some updates on these injuries. Get the RotoExperts.com exclusive edge in-season fantasy baseball package now and start soaring to the top of the standings. Enter promo code free radio at checkout for a special discount. So George, flipping over to the other side of the New York teams, as we talked about the Yankees in the last segment, the Mets currently sitting at 25-33. I think it's been talked about ad nauseum about how many injuries they have, but Mike Cardano, our colleague, our boss, sent out a tweet last night about Matt Harvey, and I want to read it to you because you may have seen it, but it is pretty startling.
This should be interesting.
Matt Harvey has now pitched 37 games in his career where the Mets have scored three runs or less. Of those 37 games, how many do you think that he's won?
37 games, three runs or less. He was once a dominant pitcher. I'll say seven.
He's won one of those.
Yeah, I had a feeling it was going to be like that.
So he... I said, you're blaming him. Is it an overall lack of run support? And Cardano came back and said he's had the highest run support in the league this season. So what do you think it is that Harvey gets into these games and he can't pull them out of it? You know, a lot of times you see big-time pitchers, they can, you know, they basically take it upon themselves to close out games. And Harvey throws five innings last night, and he doesn't factor in the decision. But ultimately, again, the Mets are unable to capitalize. They lose 3-2 to the Braves.
Yeah, I thought so. What he did in the past no longer matters. Yeah, he's not that pitcher anymore. So, like I said, so one of 37, that's not good. I mean, sometimes you got to win a game for your team. You know, you're up against the other team's ace, but it's going to be a low-scoring game. You got to pull one out there. But as for, like I said, all that, that's mainly pie in the sky type numbers anyway. He's not that. He's not the Dark Knight anymore. He's not must-see TV anymore. You know, last night we considered that a good start. He went five innings at three strikeouts. He's just not the same pitcher he used to be. He's really, right now, just another guy. Maybe, after, you know, in time, maybe next season, a season down the road, whatever it might be with another team, he gets that back. I highly doubt it. But I think the injuries have taken its toll with Harvey. I don't know if he'll ever be that same guy. But with Tommy John, with thoracic outlet syndrome, it's just not there anymore. You know, he doesn't have that 99-mile-per-hour fastball, that electricity that flies out of his arm there. He's just not that guy.
And, Matt, you know, he doesn't give up a run last night. But what's disconcerting about the five-inning start, whether or not he factored into the decision, he threw 104 pitches for 68 strikes. It's not like he was mowing people down and just, you know, pitch counts are all over the place.
Yeah, it's pretty much what George said. I don't see it coming back. The stuff isn't there yet. Maybe with the shoulder thing, in time, it will. I mean, the velocity has been there for the most part this season. But it's also his mojo. And even when he had the, I think it was a start like a week or so ago, where they gave him the crown after the game, whoever like the best Met player is. He even said that he didn't expect to get this much this year. So I mean, just his body language, he had the persona of a guy that give me the ball, I'm gonna dominate. And I understand, you know, Tommy John, thoracic outlet syndrome. It's really tough watching a guy that I just like we used to say was must see TV.
Yeah, Julio Teheran pitched pretty well last night. Six innings, four runs, doesn't factor in the decision, but only gives up the one run, three strikeouts. So hopefully his season is turning around as well. Another guy that's frustrated a lot.
He does love the Mets.
Yeah, he does. He really does. Dansby Swanson had a couple of RBIs last night, 2-for-3. Hopefully there's a sign of life there. Dansby Swanson hitting only .215 on the season, Matt.
Yeah, as a kid that I didn't really take this season, I don't have any shares. But I think going forward, you will see the best of Dansby Swanson. It was a rough first couple of months. He does have talent. I mean, I don't think he's a great fantasy asset. I think he'll be more of a better MLB player. But he'll definitely be better than what he's shown so far.
George, that's right on what you said about Dansby Swanson from the beginning.
Yep, and I'll say the same thing from day one. I think he's a much better baseball, a major league baseball player than he is a fantasy one. You look at his numbers, where's he going to help you? Not going to hit a ton of home runs, not going to steal a ton of bases. Average could help eventually, not so far, not yet. But I just don't see him being a great fantasy guy. Middle infielder late in your draft, fine, I'm okay with that. But I think he's sort of I don't like making this comparison. It sort of reminds me of a Derek Jeter type. Mm-hmm. Never going to have that one great where he's going to hit 25 home runs or steal 35 bases. He might. I could see a year where he hits 16 home runs, steals 18 bases, bats 310. I could see that. That's his upside, but he's not there yet.
Moving over to go ahead.
Yeah, and his draft price was very prohibitive. It was pretty high. I mean, it was double digits, but you had to pay like say maybe 12th round, 13th round when Brandon Phillips was going much later. And you know, he's proven the guy hits for average. He gives you power and speed.
Yeah, true. So moving over to another game where there was a lot of runs scored last night. The Marlins take out the Pirates 12-7. Tyler Glasnow, oof.
Yeah,
four innings, six earned runs, 10 hits. He got beat up.
I think this is a kid that we're going to look back on maybe like a year from now or something. Everybody's going to move on from Tyler Glasnow, and then he's going to finally get it all together. It's pretty much he needs to simplify and find a way to repeat his mechanics. He does have good stuff. I mean, he can sling that ball. So he just never has been able to get the control. I think maybe putting him in the bullpen for a little bit, letting him maybe pitch out of the stretch and work on some mechanical issues that can maybe simplify things can really help this kid because he is talented. And I know people are looking at him now and they're like, oh, he's a bum. He's not going to. It is tough, though. He is a very tall guy, so that's another strike against him.
But. Yeah. George, I heard Matt and the other guys talking about the other day on Roto Experts in the Morning how it is difficult for younger pitchers to perfect the repetition of their mechanics, and that could be a situation here with Glasnow. I mean, his ERA is 7.5, so clearly there's issues here, and he got beat up again last night.
Well, Matt said it. He's a tall guy, and tall guys, their mechanics can get out of whack very easily. You know, you're doing one thing different. Your elbow's in the wrong place. Your arm's ahead of your body and all this other stuff. It can throw everything out of whack. Your location will be off. Your velocity dips. We've seen that over and over again. If your arm slot's not quite where it should be. So that could be a problem. And we have seen that. Remember, was it in mid-April, late April, they said they changed his mechanics? That was a huge warning sign for me when they said they changed it, not fixed it. They changed it. Not even mid-season, beginning of the season, you're changing mechanics? That always raises quite a few red flags for me. Listen, not every pitcher who comes up for star project is going to figure it out right away. I think Matt makes a funny point, and I think it's probably going to end up being true. Right when we don't believe in him anymore because we want results right now, right when we forget about him next year, all of a sudden that's when he'll be great. That's when he'll figure it out. Everything will come into place for him, and all of a sudden he'll be a lights-out pitcher.
I know who Matt's taking in mid-teens to late-teens to early 20 rounds next year. Tyler Glasnow is going to load up on your teams. On the Marlins side of things, D. Gordon, a really nice night last night. 3-for-6, 2 runs scored, stole a couple of bases. For all of you that were frustrated, including myself, with Giancarlo Stanton early in the year, it's come back to where he needs to be, right? Hits another home run last night. His 16th of the year, hitting .288. A couple of more runs scored, a couple of hits. George, Giancarlo Stanton right where we need him to be.
That's not fair. That was more than a home run. He hit that almost over the batter's eye in Pittsburgh. My God.
The deepest part of the park,
Wow, that was a fantastic shot, man. If him and Judge aren't in the home run hitting contest at the All-Star break, something's just seriously wrong. I don't even care about anybody else. I just want to see these two. Put Joey Gallo there, too.
Yeah,
let's just see the three of them mash.
You're leaving one guy out, though. Miguel Sano needs to be there as well. He's pretty much must-see TV as well, I think, every time he gets up.
Scooter Jeanette in there as well.
Oh, God.
So do you think Stanton's juices are raised because Judge and Gallo keep challenging him on these bombs, Matt?
You know what? He made a statement a couple of weeks back that he was sick and tired of the Aaron Judge talk. He didn't want to deal with it no more. I mean, I think going into the season, the one thing I was just hoping was play 145 to 150 games, and you're going to get a nice return on your investment. He's cutting down the strikeouts. It's only a little over 2 months in, but that's really nice to see. It's like a 6% drop. So that's something that I've really keyed on. He's batting almost .290. He's scoring a bunch of runs, 42 RBIs. So I mean, I'm as a Stanton owner, It's risky, you know. It wasn't easy making the pick, but I made it several times, and so far, so good. But you know, still
look,
a long
if
way
you
to
can
go.
Get the 145 games, you're good to go, right?
Yeah, no, I mean,
you got to get so many homers.
And like year. I said, if we get those four guys in the home run contest, everyone will tune in. Judge, Stanton, Sano, and Gallo. I mean, that would be a treat.
Tyler Moore hit a couple of homers in that game last night. He's just only got 52 at-bats on the season, so not a guy that's owned in many leagues. But Tyler Moore, a guy that put up a couple of homers last night. And, George, a player that we haven't talked about much on this show is Marcell Ozuna. Marcell Ozuna has another nice night last night. He goes 3-for-5, a couple of runs scored, and he's hitting .328 on the season.
He's had a breakout season. I mean, he really has. He's hitting some bombs as well. He could be in that home run hitting contest, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, anybody hitting home runs in Miami could be in that home run hitting contest.
True. He has 15 homers to date right now. He's only one behind Stanton for the team lead. He's a guy I owned last year, and people scared me off of him a little bit in the spring. They were not expecting a repeat of this. A lot of people weren't.
His biggest problem is he hasn't been able to put a full season together. Yeah. That's been the biggest problem for him. Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on. We'll update some injuries in the next segment. We're going to be talking football in the second hour. Matt Modica had a draft earlier this week. He's got another one coming up soon. So wrap it up with some baseball here at the next couple of segments. Mike, Matt, and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back after this. Back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Sorry, got caught trying to eat a little bit of breakfast there. Sorry, folks. But, you know, just looking around a couple other box scores, highlights. Matt, you and I were talking during the break about Andrew Triggs got lit up last night.
He was living a charmed life. He really was. He had like 14 unearned runs this season going into last night. And I kept him in my weekly leagues because he was pitching at Tropicana Field, but that was a huge mistake, as we see. I mean, I'm thinking Rockies. Corey Dickerson, I mean, he keeps killing it. And
1-for-5, 3 RBIs last night for Dickerson.
Logan Morrison hit his 17th home run. I mean, he didn't get signed till late. Nobody wanted this guy. But, I mean, as far as the power, he does provide it.
Yeah, and Logan Morrison hit his 17th. Corey Dickerson hit his 14th. And George Triggs last night, 3 2/3, 9 hits, 8 earned, 3 homers. That'll kill your ratios.
Yeah, I think Matt said it perfectly. I think he has been living a charmed life, sort of been living on that edge where we're expecting regression. You know, I would have started him last night in Tropicana Field, too. It's the Rays. They don't score runs. They scored pretty much a month's worth of runs in one game last night. Of course, as an Evan Longoria owner, I'm sorry, how many hits did he have last night?
0-for-4. He had a couple of strikeouts. He left 3 guys on base. But Souza, 3-for-5. Dickerson, 1-for-5 with the 3-run homer. Smith, 2-for-3, couple of ribbies, and the aforementioned Logan Morrison hit his 17th. So, yeah, unfortunately, George.
Is there anything worse than that, by the way?
No,
when you have a fantasy guy on once, and you see, oh, my God, they scored 16 runs. You look at the box score, 0.
Yeah.
0.
What was
0.
Worse is the past, like, 2 weeks in some leagues, I've been looking, like, should I add Malik Smith now? At some point, he's probably going to get in there and he'll have some value. I mean, he's just, at worst, he's going to steal a ton of bases. And I had him as maybe some conditional, you know, down the line. I could have had this guy for a buck. And now if I want him this weekend, he's going to be a premium price tag. And it just pisses me off.
So he got 6 stolen bases.
He had 3 last night.
Yeah. So
I mean, if you had Cameron Maben and him in a lineup.
Yeah, Maben stole 4 bases last night. I think he had 4 hits as well. So nice night for those guys. But, yeah, George, the Corey Dickerson train just keeps on rolling.
Yeah, we heard, right? Yeah, there's a nice story on, I forget where I read the story, probably ESPN, but how he loves his bats, takes those things to heart, and he lost, what, 25 pounds? This kid could hit in Colorado, and as Matt said earlier in the show, not everybody who hits in Colorado is all a Colorado baby for some reason. Maybe it took him a couple of years to figure out how to hit away from Coors. Maybe it took him a couple of years to take the game seriously, whatever it might be, got himself back in shape. Looks like the player he was in Colorado, and this is a Tropicana field. Good for him.
All right, so I wanted to flip over to update some injuries in this segment. Jonathan Villar, Brewers second baseman, removed from Friday night's game against the D-backs in the eighth inning after making a lunging catch. He crumpled to the ground and was removed from the field on a cart. So that's obviously not good, but the injury was not immediately disclosed. George, I don't know if you have anything further on that.
No, it happened too late for really to get any news yet. You know, what everybody is, what you and I are, what Matt is day to day right now. But hopefully, it doesn't go someone gets carted over, helped off. Doesn't always mean it's terrible. You know, we most of us have suffered injuries where it hurt like hell when it happened, but it ends up only being day to day. But nothing new now. I'll check to see if anything came out.
Amir Garrett, Matt, you and I were talking during the break. Amir Garrett was removed with no outs in the second inning after getting hit in the left hand by a line drive that had an exit velocity of nearly 103 miles an hour. So he dropped to the ground as the ball deflected away. Yeah, I'd say so. Austin Barnes hit it off his hand. So he reached the base with a single. He threw a few practice pitches but was removed from the game. So obviously they'll have to take x-rays and we'll see what we got there. White Sox first baseman Jose Abreu was hit in the left knee by an Andrew Miller pitch with two outs in the seventh inning Friday night at Progressive Field and left the game immediately. He writhed in pain on the ground and now he'll be out. So you got to keep an eye on Jose Abreu, who's a guy that we've talked about could potentially be moved at some point. Yes, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think the White Sox will entertain all offers, and Abreu should bring back the biggest hole if he could get traded. You could look on the flip side. Maybe they want to keep him for guys like Moncada and, you know, help them grow. But I think pretty much Abreu will get, as long as he's not seriously injured with this, which seems like it was a bruise, so hopefully nothing serious. But if they can get a nice return on him, I don't know what they're getting on who's the third baseman right now? Slipping my mind. He's been terrible.
Frazier,
thank you. I mean, Frazier's really underwhelmed. I mean, and I didn't expect really big things from him this year, but I expected better than what he has shown. So, I mean, the White Sox are doing the right thing, and hopefully, you know, Abreu's healthy. And he's proven to be, you know, a really good major league hitter. He hasn't batted below 290. The home runs have gone down, but his batted ball profile this year has improved. So he's a guy, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, he's got 10 homers, but the 229 average, obviously, killing some owners, killing ratios. George, Madison Bumgarner threw 20 fastballs in the Giants' bullpen session. He's expected to pitch, throw twice more in the bullpen, then pitch a simulated game next week. And the Giants' timetable has not really been definitively released, but it looks like this is a post-All-Star situation.
Yeah, I mean, the plan right now is for what you said, then he's going to go to a five-start rehab. Now, you can do the math there. Five times five alone is 25 days. So that automatically puts you into July. So I think you're looking at the All-Star break probably shortly thereafter. They'll be in no rush. Unless they start playing fantastic ball over the next month, they're not going anywhere anyway. So there's no reason to push to really push him to get him back ASAP. As for the other injuries you mentioned, just to let you know, Garrett is day-to-day. That ended up being the x-ray was negative. He should be okay. Probably more caution there than anything else. Abreu also day-to-day, although if you saw him get hit, he looked like he got shot. And anyone's been hit in the knee, you know how much that hurts, but that ended up being very minor. And listen, the White Sox may want to trade all these players, but outside of Abreu, Quintana's been bad. His value has probably come down. Matt already talked about Frazier hitting some home runs lately, but he hasn't been very good. So they might have some problems getting top-notch talent that they want for these guys as they start playing better. And as for Moncada, we're all wondering when he gets called up. He's been terrible over the past month in the minor leagues.
Yeah. The White Sox, we've been waiting, it feels like, since opening day. Like, all right, when is the sell-off coming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, all off-season.
Well, it hasn't happened.
We heard about Quintana. I mean, the Astros are another team that are going to get a pitcher. You figure the Yankees. I mean, the Dodgers, as many pitches as they have, they really need somebody reliable behind Kershaw. Because, I mean, Rich Hill with these blisters. Alex Wood, can he go the distance? McCarthy with the knee. You got Ryu, who's been out for 2 years. Maeda is not like...
You have to pay a pretty significant price, though, if you're talking about somebody to be right behind Kershaw.
Well, I mean, they have prospects. They have money. So
they have tons of money.
The Dodgers need to win now. I mean...
Yeah, I agree.
They're a team that needs to win now. The Nationals, I mean, the Astros, in my opinion, definitely need to bolster that staff up. I know they have some young talent. Maybe they're showcasing them in Martez and Paulino. But right now, that team is too good. They have a really solid bullpen, great lineup. Get another pitcher in there. I mean, I love Lance McCullers, and I think the kid is phenomenal. But how is he going to be in the second half? Or how is he going to be come October? If he say he completes the full season. You know, we've seen Jake Arrieta a couple of years back when he had that Cy Young season. He was pretty much spent come October, and the Mets beat him up, and he wasn't the same pitcher in the playoffs as he was during the year.
George, Matt raises kind of an interesting question. Look, there's a few teams that could use an arm. Which team do you think needs it the most? We've talked about the Yankees potentially adding an arm. We've talked about the Astros many times. Matt brings up the Dodgers. Which team do you think is most in need of having to add an arm to bolster that rotation?
Well, I think it depends on what your definition of need is. You know, we took a need to get an arm just to get to the playoffs, need to get an arm to advance in the playoffs, need to get one to win the World Series. I mean, the Astros don't need an arm to get to the playoffs. I think they walk away with that division. But I think if they want to, they want to win, yes, they need another arm there. I think Matt brings up McCullers is perfect. Once again, I'd like to fight with Matt today, but I'm agreeing with everything he's saying here. But McCullers, you look at his history. Second half could be he has problems making starts. What do we say about what did I say about McCullers all season long? Just give me 25 starts. And by what I mean by that is his history tells us he can't do that, that he'll get hurt. Now, he's great when he can pitch, but eventually he'll wear down. I wonder if that does happen in August of dog days down the stretch. So I think the Astros, for as good a team as they are, I think they're a team that absolutely 100% sure has to go out and acquire him. Is it Quintana? Fine, go out and get him. You know, to really make that. Really push it deep into October and possibly even be the American League representative in the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, for the Astros to be playing at a pace like this where they could conceivably break the record for wins, obviously you just compete for the World Series. I mean, that's the deal. You got to go out and get the arm to do it, right?
They look like the 2016 Cubs.
Yeah. Real quick, Yoenis Cespedes flew to New York last night. He's the 26th man. Terry Collins says he's playing one of these games this weekend.
I want to see if he can run out a double. That's my main concern.
Do you really want to see him try it?
I don't want to see him try it, but I mean that's got to be the test,
George. That's the precarious nature of the Mets. Like you want to see if he can actually run out a double, but the fear is that if he actually runs out the double, he'd be hurt and on the DL for another 30 days.
Well, I hear they're going to have an ambulance at home plate. He hits and jumps in the ambulance and run, drives around the bases here. No, I get where Matt's coming from. Once again, if he can run out of double, then he's probably healthy. If not, then he's got some issues here. Can't DH him in National League. You know, with the Mets, who knows? Yeah, he could be completely healthy. He could be, his hamstring could be hanging together by a thread.
Well, at least Jacob DeGrom's been solid. So
he's on my who's not list.
We'll talk about Jacob DeGrom after the break. Mike, Matt, and George back after this. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Just wrapping it up. I want to talk a little bit about George's closer report because we're going to turn the page over to football in the next hour. George, pretty quiet week on the closer front, you said. There was a couple of moves, though, since you published the article. First, let me say the Orioles you highlighted. Orioles taking the cautious route with Zach Britton as well. They should because Brad Brack owners, it looks like he's a couple of weeks away. Brad Brack owners should just be mindful of that. Yes.
Yeah, Britton is on the way back. So it's a sneaky time. You might be. I don't know how much you can get for Brock. Most of your owners in your league should be aware that Britton's coming back. But I have gotten a couple of questions in the Roto Experts email answer queue. And it's worth a shot. He could at least be a sweetener because Brock could get 4 to 6 saves from this point forward until Britton comes back. Can't hurt to try.
Cam Bedrosian had a little bit of a setback here, Matt, with the injury.
I don't think this guy's ever going to pitch again, it seems like. I mean, if you got Bud Norris, you're extremely happy. He's done a really good job. Maybe, you know, maybe the bullpen was always his best destination. And it's something that he seems to really be liking. I know Scott did a at the park piece with him. And, you know, he seems to be thriving in that. He, you know, he's welcomed it. And, you know, sometimes, and I don't think, even if Bedrosian's healthy, and I'm somebody that invested pretty much everywhere in Cam Bedrosian, that Socia was going to turn that job over to him anyway.
Yeah. George, you mentioned in this article, Addison Reed could be throwing multiple innings for saves for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, the Mets are, the starters are, as we've been discussing on the show, Harvey only goes five innings. The starters aren't going long enough. DeGrom got wrecked the other night, putting a lot of big-time strain on that bullpen. So Collins let it be known that pitchers like Reed may have to go multiple innings. That does change the, I guess, the thing is a little bit, because let's face it, if Reed goes two innings tonight, maybe he can't pitch tomorrow. And maybe he missed the save situation there. So it's something to keep in mind. I don't think it necessarily means you drop Reed. I don't think you drop Reed. But, you know, he could lose a save opportunity here or there, and this would be the reason why, not because of an injury.
Well, I mean, from a Mets fan perspective, I think it's time to maybe shake some things up. I don't blame it all on Terry, the injuries and stuff, but maybe fire him, see if we can get a spark plug going.
Wow.
I mean, they're 9.5 games back in the wild card behind like six teams.
It's not even calculable at this point.
You know, you have to just try something, maybe with Lugo back.
So not his fault.
And Matt, it's not, but he's terrible with the bullpen management. It's just awful. He was so pig-headed with Michael Conforto. Really, the only reason Conforto played this year is because, you know, they had that opening. But, I mean, otherwise.
Do you blame Sandy and the front office for the Conforto stuff as much as you blame Collins?
Yeah, I mean, the front office has to take some blame because they could have stepped in and said, look, this kid needs to be in the lineup every day. And I just didn't understand why. I mean, I drafted him as if he would play. So, I mean, he was very cheap, so it wasn't like you had to really, really pay for him. But I thought Jay Bruce, one, would be traded, or two, you know, Curtis Granderson was going to be 36. He's a 220 hitter at best.
Yeah,
so
George, a couple quick things. So Aroldis Chapman looking to return some point next week.
Yeah, during the Oakland series, Yankees are going out to the West Coast starting Monday. He's expected to return during that Oakland series about June 16th.
And the Nats, Cody Glover was awful on Sunday, which is a while ago now. But anything going to get shaken up here?
No, it looks like Glover's sake here. I did have a save or two this week. He's back. Good for Dusty Baker for not panicking and all of a sudden getting rid of him, too. He's been their best reliever. He had a hiccup. You know, it was a weird situation. Came in the eighth inning. It would have been a save, but he came into the eighth inning to get the out there. And then they watched him score, I don't know, 19 runs of a ninth inning, and he just choked in the bottom of the ninth. Maybe he lost that adrenaline, lost that focus, and he gave up a busload of runs.
Yeah, that happens. It'll happen. Patience. We preach patience a lot here. Sometimes the managers need to preach patience as well. But if you're Matt Modica, you just fire the Mets manager because 20 guys got hurt this season. We're flexible on our positions here on the Roto Experts, and we'll be back to talk football in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Back for hour number two on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's Matt Modica, Mike Blewett, and George Kurtz. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. If you want to give us a call, please do. 844-843-6879. We're here until 10 at 10 o'clock. It's going to be Fantasy Bagels and Baseball with Tony Sincotta and Cha-Cha. And then after that, we're going to have the Weekend Fantasy Update. Joe Galina, Frank Stanfill, Mike Florio. So feel free to keep listening in. You know, I got a jolt of energy the other day. I don't know what it was, but I think it's because I've been writing the articles for the RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge package. Football will be coming out here in the next couple of days. And it started to make me realize, you know, the NHL playoffs are coming to a close one way or the other. Same with the NBA playoffs. then it's just baseball and football. And usually when that happens is when football starts to ramp up. And to that point, you have a draft coming up where you have the number one overall pick, correct?
That is correct. It starts at 1 p.m. today. It's a draft champions, like a draft and hold, 35 rounds total.
So no pickups.
No pickups. No in-season moves.
When that thing ends, you're done.
Yep, that's it. I really want to. I think Le'Veon Bell is the best fantasy player.
PPR league?
PPR league.
Okay.
I have allegiance to David Johnson for, I mean, he was wonderful for me in the leagues I had. I mean, even the leagues where I took Sammy Watkins second in the second round, he still helped me win, so it's kind of a tough call.
George, you have the number one overall pick in a PPR league this year. You are taking which player?
I'm probably taking Le'Veon Bell. Like Matt said, I think he is the best player. But once again, if I decide to go David Johnson, I'm fine with that too. You know, I think you're golden either way you go there. But I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell. He's just so dynamic. He just has a different running style than all running backs. That team is still going to be filtered through him. I am worried somewhat, as we discussed on Old School Fantasy earlier this week, about Pittsburgh playing all those road games earlier. But that affects Ben Roethlisberger in the passing game more than Bell. I'm still going to go Le'Veon Bell, number one.
So the tiebreaker for you is just sort of a little bit more dynamic. You would expect the offense to be a little bit better in Pittsburgh than Arizona. That's the tiebreaker for you?
I think they have to be better. I think Arizona has a better defense, so they won't need to have as explosive an offense. Plus, I trust Ben more than I trust Carson Palmer. You know, so I don't. It's hard to trust him. Maybe also the defense play closer to the line of scrimmage in Arizona to stop Johnson than they will in Pittsburgh, because you can't stop Antonio Brown. Or Martavis Bryant's back as well.
Is that how you feel about it, Matt? Basically, Steelers offense is better, so that's why you're leaning that way?
That, and I just look at what the guy did in 12 games. He had 5 less catches than David Johnson. I think he had more yards rushing, or was right there with him. I mean, it's pretty insane, the 12-game season that he had last year.
No doubt. Guy's incredible, and he's got his really dynamic running style, like George said. It's part of a big offense, you know, if he can stay out of trouble.
And Martavis Bryant,
stay healthy.
If he can be there, helps Ben so much, too. It just helps that whole offense.
I'm a Steelers fan. I have zero expectations for Martavis Bryant for the rest of his life.
I understand.
Just letting you know where I'm at, where my head's at. I'm a great player, but we always say, guy can't stay out of trouble. So, Mike, Matt, and George back after this. We'll talk about another NFL mock draft that Matt was in. Back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's Mike, Matt, and George. And hopefully you're listening on the app, but if you're not, you can now take the world's premier 24/7 fantasy sports radio network with you wherever you go. So download that app. Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app in iTunes Store, on Google Play, and listen for free anytime, anywhere. You can hear us here every Saturday and Sunday morning. Matt does the Roto Expert show during the week, which is Monday through Friday, 8 to 10. George does Old School Fantasy. You're doing Old School Fantasy now, too?
Yes.
With Corey and George, and that is at 10 to 11. That's every
three
day
more weeks
for 3 more weeks. Yeah, we're switching up the schedule a little bit, but we'll keep everybody in the know. I'll be here still every Saturday with George, and every Sunday as well. That will continue all the year round. I'm the weekend guy. So anyway, we keep you updated and informed wherever you go. Just download that app, Fantasy Sports Radio app, for free right now in the iTunes Store, on Google Play, and take the experts with you. So breaking down some drafts, Matt was in a NFFC draft that concluded earlier this week.
Yeah, it was 20 rounds, one night. That draft, I will have in-season pickups.
And that is standard.
This is PPR.
I pretty
much only play PPR. Okay. I will do the fishbowl, Scott Fishbowl's thing, which
I'm
is standard, but there's a bunch of other different little quirks to that league too. So
yeah, I've never actually done Scott Fishbowl before, but I threw my name in the ring for this year, so I'll be in that.
Yeah, I haven't done it neither, so this is my first.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Explain to me how it works. There's tons of conference. There's tons of leagues, right? And you're trying to win your league, obviously, and then you're also competing against the other winners of the other leagues. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's a convoluted league. It's the most important thing: score points. Just score as many points as possible. Win your division if you can. So two quarterback, you can start two quarterbacks. So it really becomes more of a super flex type league. It's a lot of fun. I think you only play the first 12 weeks of the season. In other words, to fit in all the different permutations to try and win this league. I'm not going to go through the playoff system with you. We could do the whole show on the playoff system there. But most important thing is score as many points as possible. Just keep running up points as much as you can. So like I said, it's a super flex league, so you want the quarterbacks. That's where those points are coming from.
But you also then, given that you have to really stretch for a point total, then you're going to take some risks in this one that you wouldn't take in some other leagues.
Yes. You have to, because once again, you're not just fighting against your own division. That's great, you won your division, but then you got to fight against everybody else who has great teams as well. So I think you do want to take some chances in this league, yeah, if you want to win it all. It's fun. Bottom line is it's fun, but it's unlike any other league you're going to play in.
Yeah, so there you go.
Which is cool. I definitely want to do a super flex or two quarterback league. It's pretty much everything.
It's my favorite type of league.
Yeah, and I'm starting to convert completely because going through these mock drafts now, quarterback in one quarterback leagues, quarterback is easy now. You don't really have to take anybody. And by the way, we'll look at what happened here in your draft. And you, Matt, was team number 8, George, in this mock draft. Amazingly,
yes, I did. We beat this draft to death already.
No, you did. Amazingly, he got Beckham in the 8th slot. I don't really know how that happened, but I think LeSean McCoy was the curveball there.
That it was. Once I saw that, I was very happy. I would have taken. I didn't care who I got, and Julio Jones or Beckham really.
George, would you expect LeSean McCoy to be the 4th running back off the board in drafts later this year, or do you think that's a one-shot deal that somebody took?
I mean, I wouldn't mind hearing. Now, once again, I don't think this is a horrible pick, because where would you have put him? 9? So yeah. We're only talking 3 slots here, so I don't think it's a horrible pick. But I would like to hear the person's thinking about why he took McCoy over Beckham. I can understand taking him over Julio Jones. Maybe you're worried about the foot, so I have no issue there. But why over Beckham? Is it because he didn't show up to the voluntary minicamp? Is that why? Who cares? What are you worried about, Theo? Because he went out to Miami and he went on a little party before the playoff game last year? Do you really think that makes a difference? I mean, I'd like to hear the reason why. Not that there couldn't be a valid reason, but I wouldn't have taken him over that. Maybe, once again, he's just worried that, or she, for that matter, is worried that, hey, there's just no one else to take. No running backs. Running backs are going to run out so quick, I need to get one in the first round. And if that's the case, I'm fine with that, too. I wouldn't have gone that direction. I think Matt did get a gift. We said it on yesterday's show. I think Matt got a gift at number 8 when Beckham's there.
Yeah. It could have been Julio or Beckham. You would have had your choice.
Yeah, for the 4th running back off the board for me would have been Melvin Gordon. But I follow like consensus ranks. I'll put some people that I respect their opinion versus what I have ranked. And it seems like most people have LeSean McCoy as the 4th running back off the board.
Interesting. So, it's a workload situation, right? We preach opportunity a lot, and
I think Jonathan Williams is a guy he's going to play that Mike Gillisley role. He's going to be involved.
He's on my dynasty team. He was acquitted of his DUI charges this week, so he will not be suspended.
Last season, before getting suspended, they would seem like a kid that they really wanted in there, and that was the reason why they let Gillisley go. I like Gillisley a lot, too. I do like him in New England, and if he's that, kind of LeGarrette Blount role, I think he's going to really be.
George, in our dynasty league, I have Williams and Gillisley, and they never, I don't think they started combined. Maybe they started once last year for me, and I just kept them around because in that league, we got nowhere to go. It's a 16-team, 40-man rosters, so we got nowhere to go. I just keep running backs. Just because somebody could get hurt and they could have a starting role for a month. So, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. What do you think about, by the way, we'll get off this draft board for a second, George. What do you think about the Gillisley-Burkhead combo there in New England? I'm always of the opinion that in New England running backs are so difficult. The LeGarrette Blount thing, I didn't buy into last year. I was wrong. But I think it's always too hard to figure out what the roles are going to be, so I don't know how much I can value any of these guys.
Well, we'll say it again with New England. What makes them so successful is that Bill Belichick does not care about your ego. Doesn't care. He's trying to win games. So if the game plan first, you know, week two calls for a heavy Gillislee, that he's the best matchup, that's who he's going for. Game four calls for, oh, it's going to be Deion Lewis and James White because they need little scat backs instead. That's who he's going to go for. There'll be another game plan that may cover Burkhead. Good luck. And I said, I really don't want anything to do with the New England situation. That being said, if I was forced to take one running back, it would be Gillislee, because I do think he could be the closest to replacing LeGarrette Blount as far as the touchdowns are concerned. I think he could at the very least be that guy. But overall, I mean, it's going to be difficult playing the Bill Belichick guessing game, as I like to call it. You know, you don't know what he's thinking each week, what him and Josh McDaniel are going to come up with. And you know what? I don't need to figure that out and have a heart attack each Sunday when, oh my God, I started James White, but Deion Lewis is the one going off. Bill Belichick hates fantasy football.
What do you guys think about James White? I mean, I think he really proved to them, and if you listen to Brady and stuff, and I think he's the pass catching back on this team. As great as Deion Lewis is, he doesn't stay healthy.
But why didn't they do that? What did he do wrong last year that they didn't feature him consistently over the course of the season? The Super Bowl is going to skew people's perception of him somewhat, only not so far as how good a player he is, because he might be that kind of player. But in fantasy terms, I can't guarantee consistent use for James White.
I mean, I can't, but I look at things with quarterbacks, especially the elite quarterbacks. You always hear about trust,
mm-hmm.
and that. And if Tom Brady's trusting James White, and James White's going to at least get that first opportunity, and he seems like he can get the job done.
Kevin Faulk then, and that would be great.
Yeah, I mean,
Brady, love that guy.
If you can get him, let's see, he went with the last pick in the eighth round in a PPR league. I mean, get a piece of that offense.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, interestingly, Matt picked Doug Baldwin in the second round in front of Brandon Cooks, in front of Amari Cooper, in front of Dez Bryant, in front of DeAndre Hopkins. Now, some of those guys obviously have slightly bigger profiles than Baldwin, but in this instance, George, it's crazy, but Baldwin is almost this is really the safest pick of this group. I could argue Amari over that, over Baldwin there, but Cooks, it could be an explosive year, but maybe he plays second fiddle to Gronk and some of all these other guys we're talking about. Dez, we always know what the risks are there. And DeAndre Hopkins, you know, good luck. Who's the QB? Right, George?
Yeah, I said it on yesterday's show. So we beat this draft down. I'm not going to change my answer here. I like to pick a Baldwin here. I think the way you said it, Mike, safe pick, I think that is accurate. But I think that sort of also puts it down. Oh, he's a safe pick. Like, he doesn't have any upside here. Baldwin's the only guy in the wide receiver core there you're worried about in Seattle. Mm-hmm. He's going to get his shares of throws from Russell Wilson. The other players you mentioned, I wouldn't have taken Cooper over him. I would have thought about Dez. I thought about it. But I think in the end, once again, it's the safe guy. He's going to rack up his catches. Dez is going to have some quiet games and some big games. And as we really broke down yesterday, that Cowboys schedule, they play six of the top defenses, and that's including playing the Giants twice. They play six of the top defenses in the NFL this season during your fantasy league. So that's going to be rough. There are going to be a lot of weeks where they're also going to be trying to keep the ball on the ground early and often.
Yeah, so beyond that, Tom Brady went in the third round.
Yeah, Tom Brady's going to be very popular. In this league, you do get 6 points for a passing touchdown.
Okay. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still plays, right?
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear. He did throw 40 touchdown passes last year. Breeze, Luck, Matty Ice. George, you would have waited all day long, buddy. I know how you roll. You would have waited to the 15th
Double digits,
round
baby.
To take
Come talk me around 12.
That's right. George, Matt, and Mike back after this to talk a little bit more football. Back on the Roto Extras in the morning, Mike, Matt, and George. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I made some notes during the week, and I'm looking at this draft. And George, I'll ask you first, and Matt, you can chime in as well. You know, it comes this time of year, we start having our favorite players and, you know, coming up with lists and, you know, who's your sleepers. And at George, as you like to say, by the time the end of July rolls around, there's no sleepers anymore. We've talked about everybody, right? But I'm trying to figure out, like, whose season in the fantasy world are you anticipating the most? Like, who are you most curious about to see if somebody can bounce back from an injury, or he changed places. You know, the name I keep coming to is Brandon Cooks. I think people are hotly anticipating his season because it is going to be curious to see how he fits in there. You know, dude, like the catches go down, but the touchdowns go up. So for me, Cooks is one of those guys, maybe not the guy. But George, any other players out there that you can think of that, you know, I'm really curious to see how this guy breaks out this season or whatever it might be?
I think Cooks is probably a very good choice there because, once again, we are all, how's he going to work with Brady? How are they going to spread that workload around? I think other guys I'm looking at, I guess I'll try and go one at each position here. Martellus Bennett with Green Bay. You know, he doesn't have to worry about Gronk. You know, he had Brady, he had a Hall of Fame quarterback last year, but Gronk was the number one guy there. Now, how does he do with Aaron Rodgers where he's the number one guy? Do they use him in the red zone, that big body there, to get those touchdowns from Rodgers? I'm curious about that. Does he take away some touchdowns from Jordy Nelson? Yeah, one of the reasons why we have Jordy Nelson so high in our rankings is because of those touchdowns. So that might be something I look at there. Like I said, nothing big. Fournette in Jacksonville, I want to see if they go to a run-based offense now. Keep that ball out of Bortles' hands somewhat because he's been erratic, to put it nicely. So those are the guys that come to mind offhand.
Fournette, personally, I think that's a done deal, that they're trying to get Bortles to throw the ball 150 times less than he threw it the last couple of years. They drafted the tackle in the second round. Granted, they moved on from Luke Jokel, but I think they needed to. And now I just think that's what it's going to be. I know you're a huge fan of Fournette. I heard you say the other day on the show he's going to touch it 250 times. So I think we can expect that. I think George is on the right track in saying that, too. They go to a run-based offense.
Yeah, I mean, guys, I'm excited for this season to see how it plays out. In Washington, Terrell Pryor signed that one-year, $8 million deal. I mean, I got him as my fourth wide receiver. I went four straight wideouts. He's my flex. And, I mean, if you just listen into the – and, look, it's June, but he's got a guy that could get him the ball. This guy's a freakish athlete. You know, now he's in a new system, but, you know, he hasn't been a wide receiver all that long. And this could be a real big step up for him. All the targets are there for him. I mean, Garcon is gone. DeSean Jackson is gone. I know they have Crowder, who I think is a hell of a player. I mean, Jordan Reed, as we consistently say, is one hit away from not playing anymore, unfortunately, because he is an extreme talent.
I don't know they should be playing now.
Yeah, no, that's really a fair thing. I mean, I know Josh Doctson has a fan club of people that really believe in him.
I'm not in that fan club.
He's still got to be on that field. So I really love the potential. I know George is a big fan of Pryor as well.
I like that you said that because, honestly, if I was really coming up with this list and I was ranking them, Pryor is probably the guy that I am most curious about. Mm-hmm. We're all sort of scratching our heads. George has been outspoken. I have, too, about the failure of the free agency market to focus on this guy at all, and more importantly, the failure of the Browns to not keep him. But here he sits in an offense that threw the ball a lot last year.
And he openly said he wanted to stay in Cleveland, but you don't really ever hear that.
It's just a breakdown. It's a breakdown somewhere along the line. Agents, free front office, whatever it is, things weren't communicated properly, and then the free agency market fell apart.
And I mean, honestly, I like Kenny Britt in Cleveland. I think, you know, look what he did with the Rams last year. That was a horrible passing offense.
It was.
And he got he put up 1,000 yards there. I think he's only 1 year older than Pryor.
Yeah, so, Kenny Britt's not 30.
Yeah, so, I mean, I kind of like him in Cleveland, and, you know, he was another guy that I wound up getting in the 11th round, and I was like, I was honestly going to take Joe Williams, but I was like, I have to take Kenny Britt here in the 11th round. So,
George, I'm not as excited about Kenny Britt. How about you?
Nah, me either. I don't. It's hard because I get it. He had no quarterback situation last year either, and he played well with the Rams. Now you're asking him to do it again with Cody Kessler. I can't buy in here. Would I draft him? Sure, late, the value is there. I'll draft anybody. You know, that doesn't really make a difference to me. But if someone wants to go out and get him around 8, round 9, I'm not doing that. I just can't buy in here. Not 2 years in a row with terrible quarterback situations. And a Terrell Pryor thing just blows my mind away. I would love to hear the real reason why he's not with Cleveland now.
I totally agree.
It just doesn't make sense.
The story is incomplete. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. I am still surprised that the free agency market didn't show more interest in him. 1 year for $8 million, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket. Somebody out there could have given him 2 or 3 years. Somebody to take a chance on that. He said he wanted to be there. The Browns don't think that he's valuable. They're like $50 million under the cap. They could be there now at twice the price, and they'd be fine.
Somebody doesn't like him in Cleveland. I have to think that.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, if somebody's not a believer.
He pissed somebody off.
Yeah, like, it could be something like that. I'm just waiting for that story to come out. You know, I hate this to be a Browns-focused fantasy show, but another guy I wanted to talk about, I'm actually getting nervous because too many experts are talking about him, but I think you picked him up here, is Crowell, Isaiah Crowell. Yeah, you did, in the fifth round. I'm actually, because of the way they've rebuilt this offensive line during the offseason, I'm actually excited for him to touch the ball a bunch, and I think they could win a few more games by playing a little bit better defense, being conservative here. I don't care that Cody Kessler's the quarterback. Maybe he stinks long-term, but he's good enough to hand the ball off and pick up a few wins. George, you agree?
I keep grabbing Crowell in drafts. You know, he ends up being my running back, too. I think every draft I've done so far, he's my running back, too. So I'm grabbing him at the end of round three, round four. I do like what I've seen from him. He might be my favorite player right now on the Browns. You know, yeah. We're making Gary Davenport happy on this show. So, yeah. I'm a Crowell believer. I think he's the only maybe might be the only member of that offense that I trust right now. The only problem is defensive coordinators know that, too. They're going to look to stop him and force Kessler to beat them.
Yeah, the only negative I see with Isaiah Crowell, and if you do a deep dive, if you look at the elusiveness and the breakaway ratings you get from, like, say, people over at Pro Football Focus that grade these guys, he rates really high in pretty much both those categories. The problem with him, the negative, is the game flow. That's where we have to be cautious with him because if Cleveland, you know, but in the second half, he out-targeted Duke Johnson, so that's positive.
I was going to say, I don't consider Duke Johnson a threat. I think he's their pass-catching. He's the second back on the team.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Crowell does have a chance to stay on that field more than people think this year. It all depends. I mean, I'm a big Hugh Jackson guy. If I could have started, you know, if you give me Crowell in the fifth round, I don't think that's going to happen later on.
You got some question marks, buddy, here on your running backs. I actually like all these picks because I think Carlos.
Oh yeah, I was Carlos one of the guys I was Kareem hoping Hunt for and... in the sixth round. To me, would have been the perfect setup with Isaiah Crowell was Danny Woodhead. I really wanted Woodhead.
Yeah,
but you know, I understand why he goes so high.
Yeah, so. So anybody else that, you know, real anticipation this year, guys? I mean, we kicked around a bunch of names, but Terrell Pryor, I think, is a good name. Crowell is at running back.
Yeah, tell you, as far as tight ends, if we, like George mentioned, Marty Bennett, who I'm curious to see as well. But Jack Doyle in Indianapolis, I think this guy could be a steal where he's going.
I agree
really
with that.
Like him. I wanted Jack Doyle. And I probably should have took him around earlier.
Yeah, I scooped him up in Dynasty leagues last year when he had that one game, because I was like, all right, so he's the new Kobe Fleener. Like, maybe he's not a superstar, but maybe he can get better than that, right? Maybe
I think
he can
be better than Kobe.
Well, I hope so. Based on how much Kobe, you know, the irony is that everybody that drafted Kobe Fleener last year, we gave everybody fair warning, then everybody liked him for a week, then they hated him, and he's still finishing like the top 10 of tight ends.
Well, I'll say this real quick. I think he'll be better than he was last year. He can't be worse, and maybe they get some chemistry this time around.
George, any thoughts on Kobe Fleener?
Yeah, Matt and I have talked about this before, and I feel the same way. I think when you look at the film there, Breeze and they just weren't on the same page. Breeze was either throwing the ball ahead of him or behind him, and that's generally something where Breeze just didn't understand or couldn't figure out how Fleener's speed yet, how quickly he comes out of breaks, and that sort of thing. I think that's something you work on during the offseason. You work on during camps, all the mini camps and all that practices. I think they'll be much better this season.
In standard leagues, Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron, and Kobe Fleener finished back-to-back-to-back. Which one would you rather have based on where they're going? Which one would you want to have? Is Jack Doyle the guy? I know you like Ebron, but... This is for Matt.
Yeah. For me, it's Jack Doyle.
George, of those three, Doyle, Ebron, Fleener, based on where they're going in drafts.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Doyle one as well. I'll probably go Fleener, Ebron.
Well, clean sweep.
I don't trust Ebron.
Me neither.
Yeah,
I'm
people,
out.
People seem to like him as like,
I know
he finally breaks out this year. I'm kind of. I don't know who said it. Maybe George said it or somebody said it. He's a great like DFS play. In the right matchup.
Yeah.
But I don't trust him either.
Yeah. So you picked O.J. Howard in this draft, but Cameron Brate some rumors here. Cameron Brate is expected to keep the starting job over O.J. Howard, but we got a long way to go before opening day.
I was honestly hoping, when it came down to this, when Doyle went, and I kind of was forced to take Howard here, I was hoping to get Howard and Brate. I didn't think Brate, I thought I could wait a while. I didn't really think anybody was going to go after Brate, and I thought that would have been a great little combo. Because I think Brate is a guy that is going to be involved in this offense no matter what. I think they do want to run the two tight end set. And they even mentioned possibly putting him in the slot. He has such a great rapport with Jameis Winston.
So, you know, a few guys got paid this week. Julian Edelman, Derek Carr looks like he's on the verge of getting paid. So there's a couple of NFL notes there. Taylor Decker, Lions left tackle. It's brutal. He's going to miss 4 to 6 months. 4 to 6 months with a torn labrum. He suffered the injury in OTAs this week. I don't think he's going to play this season. And if he does, that is the designated to return guy that you pick up late in the season. The Lions will probably figure out where they sit in the playoff race after week 10 or whenever it is that he can come back. So kind of a devastating blow. I'm doing the offensive line write-ups for the Exclusive Edge package. Lions were really looking up with a bullet, and they lost their best offensive lineman, George. And could, while we didn't believe in any of the running backs necessarily, it could impact the offense in a really negative way.
It certainly could. You know, you mentioned the designated for return. I think the NFL gets two players to return this year that they can announce. Good for the NFL.
Yeah, that's nice. Nice little flexibility that you got there. Beyond that, you know, Andrew Luck healing, obviously, this week.
Tremendously healing.
Healing tremendously. Like, who phrases it like that? He's healing. Just say that. Everything looks good. You don't have to say he's healing tremendously. He's not better at healing than anybody else. He's just healing. Adrian Peterson's better at healing than other people. Maybe we'll talk about him when we come back. Mike, Matt, and George coming back for another segment after this. We're back. Got 20 minutes to go on this show, and then we're handing off to Tony Cicada, Fantasy Bagels. Just him today, flying solo. I think he's used to that. Tony's done a lot of solo time in his radio career, so no cha-cha today.
What are you trying to say?
Getting a breather. No, I'm just saying. Tony's used to being by himself. He's not lonely.
It's not getting any better.
He's not lonely. He's got plenty of people to listen to and call in and all that good stuff. After that, it's the weekend fantasy update. Joe
that
Galina.
Wasn't quite where I was going with that,
yeah,
but okay.
I know, dude.
Nice segue. Nice try to get away from it.
I know. I just don't want to bash the guy. But in any event, Joe Galina, Frank Stanfill, and Mike Florio for the weekend fantasy update. That is from 12 to 2. Yeah, 12 to 2. So there we go. George and I will be back here tomorrow. So we were just talking about tremendously healing NFL players. It's a weird way to phrase that. I think you're right on Tampa, by the way. I think they'll probably go some two tight end sets. By the way, you're drafting rookies. That's a big risk. I'm just telling you. People are still just banking. Look, the running backs are unique this year, right? Fournette's stepping into a situation where he's going to be the best running back that they have. Christian McCaffrey's going to step in. He's going to be the most dynamic running back that they have. Remains to be seen. I'm really curious about him, too. I'm almost even more so than Fournette, because I know what Fournette's role is going to be, I think. But McCaffrey's really curious. Like, how many times does he touch it, George? How do they use him in the pass game? Like, I'm more curious how McCaffrey fits in than Fournette does.
I would agree. I think if I had to change my answer here, I might go with you there, Mike, because I think McCaffrey is very much a dynamic player. But how will Carolina transition him to get in that offense, you know, to being able to, you know, do everything he can do? Are they going to line him up in the slot? Because he runs better routes than some of the some receivers. Hey, maybe better than every receiver they have on that team. So how do they incorporate him there? You know, how can they get him the ball where he can make do as much damage as possible? Because he's not really that tight. You know, he's not the Ezekiel Elliott of running backs. You're going to give him the ball 25 times and let him carry it. That's not how you want to use him. You want to get him out there in space, get mismatches out there. So I think you got a good one there, Mike. If I could change my answer, I'd go with McCaffrey over Fournette as far as being the most interesting guy you want to see this season.
Plus, I really like him as a player. Just I'm a fan of Christian McCaffrey's game. So, you know, obviously there's two guys that we have out there, as Matt said, as you told me during the break. Jeremy Maclin's value got screwed up because Eric Decker's now flooded the market, and they both met with the Ravens. Are you bummed that Maclin didn't Maclin left Buffalo without a deal?
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. I think he
Matt's a Bills fan, by the way, to the listeners.
Yeah, he would have helped that team. And
poor Matt.
They need help. I mean, I'm excited about, you know, all these targets that are there. I think Zay Jones was a good pick in the second round. If you look at what he's been able to do in his college career, yes, it's college, and he played at East Carolina, but he did put up some insane numbers. So just putting a Maclin in there just deepens this wide receiver core, which has been barren for years.
Yeah, I guess the good news if you're a Ravens fan, George, is that they've actually interviewed both guys that are on the market, so they're looking heavily into it. Even though they're capped out, they seems like they're going to try and figure something out here.
Yeah, you know, I talked about it yesterday with Matt and Corey. I mean, did Maclin just get screwed by Eric Decker possibly being released or maybe being traded by the Jets? Because his leverage went down. Did that hurt as far as goes? Starting with Buffalo or Baltimore, we're hearing Baltimore's in talks with the Jets about possibly trading for Decker. So now, like I said, does that situation have to be resolved first? And what I mean is, does Decker have to be traded first or released before either one of these guys sign? So, like I said, I wonder if Maclin got screwed there.
Yeah, do you think who would you rather have if you're an NFL team?
I think for Eric Decker, Baltimore is the perfect situation. I think Flacco likes that kind of receiver. You put him in the end zone. I mean, I have really no faith in Bashaud Perriman, number one.
Oh, no.
I mean, Mike Wallace has his role. He's better than people think if you look at the numbers and where he finishes every year. But
he's just not terribly versatile.
Yeah.
I think his fantasy numbers do outpace people's perception of him, Mike Wallace, but he's not terribly versatile.
But I look at a healthy Decker, especially with Pitter gone, it put him in that situation. And you look at Flacco, what do you have, the second most attempts last season? Mm-hmm. Which was like, if you think about it, at the top of your head, you're not going to think Joe Flacco.
Nope.
So
they trail in a lot of games. George, I heard you sort of hemming and hawing over that. Who would you rather have if you're an NFL team? Decker's had a lot of injuries. If we knew he was going to be healthy, Eric Decker would probably be a clearer choice. But I think it's something you have to think about. I personally think Jeremy Maclin's an underrated player. I like Decker a lot, but, man, he's been hurt a lot in the last few years.
I think that's a tough question. I think it might come down to which one fits your offense best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm leaning towards Maclin.
I don't think it's a bad call. I think you absolutely could make that argument. You know, Decker's got size and he's had massive years, but we went through Jeremy Maclin's numbers last week. Like, yeah, he missed that one season due to the ACL, but he's put up big numbers, and last year was a departure from what he was able to do from a fantasy standpoint. So we can't sit here and tell you, like, who would you rather have as a fantasy player? Well, I don't know. One guy's going to show up in Baltimore. The other guy might show up in Buffalo, and, like, which quarterback do you like better and which offense do you like better is really and what their roles are going to be. If Maclin shows up in Buffalo, he's not the number one guy.
But I think that kind of helps him in a way. I mean, he was the number one guy in Kansas City, and that was just an offense that, you know, wasn't going to throw the ball. It's going to be Travis Kelce or now like Tariq Hill and stuff like that. He just doesn't throw the ball deep, so I don't think that helps.
On Flacco? He was second by one attempt to Drew Brees. He threw 672 times last year for 4,300 yards. That is brutal. Brees threw for 900 more yards in that one more attempt than him. So, God, that's terrible. 20 touchdowns, 15
Yeah, what was
picks.
Blake Bortles? Was he like third or something?
625.
And he was like 10th in completion.
625, yeah, 368 on the completions. It's,
so, yeah, I totally get what Jacksonville's doing.
Yeah, like...
That's why you got to like Fournette.
What do you want the guy to do? The offensive line is terrible. Let's let him throw.
And look, Allen
times.
Robinson has to take some blame, too. I like Allen Robinson, but he's vanished last year, too.
True. Look, breakdown all around. Coaching staff fired midseason. you gotta throw it out. You can't bury the game film, but George, like they've made some significant changes here: acquisitions, coaching staff, front office. The Jaguars, at least the arrows pointed in the right direction.
I'm not doing it this year, Mike. I'm trying to get you to make another
George
prediction
is
here.
So hot on all the right, Jaguars last year, and I was like, I think it's a year too early. He was like, nope.
I thought that was the case with sleeper pick last year, but now they got Bowie as well. I think this defense is really
Bowie, Campbell, Miles Jack in his second year, Jalen Ramsey another year. We got a lot more guys. Look, that defense.
Go
has
Jags!
To, that defense has
you
to play
gel
well
at some point. You know, you do need time to gel.
Where's Nando?
Yeah. I'm not putting any money down on the Jags. Actually, maybe I will. We'll see what the over-unders are there. By the way, can Vegas set the Jets over-under higher than 1.5? I think it would be a disservice.
I think they had it at like 5.5 recently. So I think
it's kind of dropped.
I think Matt's right.
That's crazy.
That's the suck for Sam. They're doing whatever they can. They're doing what the Cubs and Astros, what they did in baseball, the Padres now, you know, to try and get as many, I guess, as low a pick as possible. So you can just build it up that way. I get it. They need a quarterback. They'll take whoever the top-rated college quarterback is next year. Yeah. I mean, it should be fun. Who's the worst team? Cleveland, Jets, San Fran? They're all terrible, but I think the Jets are at the top of that heap.
I think the Jets are winning maybe a handful of games, at least 4 games.
I think so, too. I think the Jets are looking to me like the team that will win the least amount of games. Yes, they have some defensive talent, but it's going to take some time. As you said, they're trying to gel, and they're not all the way done trying to rebuild that defense, right? And they'd get rid of Sheldon Richardson if they could right now.
Yeah, the Jets, so, you know. I don't know what Matt Forte is doing on that team, to be honest.
Look, the book on this has been written really in the NBA, but we've seen some MLB teams do it. If you don't put a good enough team out there, you're just going to lose, right? It doesn't mean that you throw games. You just put a less talented team out there. The Philadelphia 76ers did it for like 3 years. They're like, hey, we got guys out here, we're trying, and everybody's playing minutes, and we're playing hard. Like, yeah, you play as hard as you want. It's the least talented team, so you're just going to lose. Offense is one of the worst offenses I've ever seen.
Yeah, the worst thing for me, like the last decade,
in New York, by the way,
being a Bills fan, is watching them go 8-8, 7-9.
Yeah,
because it's just terrible. You're not getting that top pick. You know, so.
Yeah. So, we'll continue to track that kind of stuff. You know, they released offensive linemen, middle linebackers, wide receivers, traded D backs, and drafted more D backs. So. Look, the offense is going to struggle. If I'm Matt Forte, I'm like, look, you can get me out of here anytime you want. Just trade me for a 7th-round pick, and let's just move on from this, because I know some people are high on Bilal Powell, that he'll earn that job. Well, what does that mean? Yeah. You know, how valuable is that? How valuable is the starting running back job going to be in New York?
I don't know.
They're testing the theory that every starting running back has value, right?
That's right.
They're testing that theory.
We preach opportunity, but geez,
over under how much on that opportunity is worth. Offensive, not defense. You know, just offensive touchdowns, 19.5.
Just offensive touchdowns,
19.5.
Oh, man,
would you bet that they get 20?
I'll take the over.
I'll take the over. But
I mean, you probably have to, but I wouldn't be confident in that.
If you set it at like 22.5, so it's like a touchdown and a half a game that I have to score, I think you really got to think about it. I mean, what did the Rams score last year?
I think 24.
That was bad. That was a bad offense. This is good stuff. We're going to grind this show to a halt. We're talking about the worst offenses in the league. Come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll talk about the 08 Lions. Try to get you a couple of wins. Mike, Matt, and George back to close out the show. Close out the show on the Roto Experts. A couple of minutes before we hand it off to Tony. A couple of notes in Major League Baseball today. 2 doubleheaders on the slate. Mets and Braves. You got Gesellman and Matz. Steven Matz. He's back.
Fragile.
Yeah, Fragile.
He's good, though. I like what he can do when healthy.
No starter listed that I'm seeing right here, what I'm looking at for the first game for the Braves, and Whistler in the second one. And
you wonder who's going to be the starter in the first game?
Yeah.
I believe it's Sean Newcomb. They're the guy they traded Alderson Simmons for. Can't say the guy's name right now.
And Drilton.
But he's a big arm, and it's going to be nice to see what he can do. You know, okay. It's the Mets, so you never know. Maybe he shuts them out.
Good highlight. A's and Rays. You got Sonny Gray going and Sean Manaea. So nice little combo there for the A's. And you said you love Manaea. Said he's a star in the making. He's showing some signs right now.
He's just progressing very nicely. He started the season off. You know, he had some control issues. Went to the DL, but he's come back and he's been on fire.
George, I'm going to throw it to you for Jeff Samardzija is 2-7, but we're seeing some signs, at least some numbers. I don't know if he can pile up any wins, but we're seeing some numbers from Samardzija pitching well.
Yeah, he has pitched better of late. Someone who I would throw him today, maybe not in DFS, but as far as my redraft leagues are going, I'm starting Samardzija today. He's been up and down. You know, he's a funny guy. I've written about him multiple times this season. You look at his overall numbers throughout his career, he's never really done a whole lot to help fantasy owners. Never struck out, only struck out more than 200 batters twice in his career, nothing in a couple of years there. But we only care what he's doing right now. And his last couple of starts, you know, he hasn't really gotten lit up since May 9th against those Mets, Matt. Other than that, his last three starts, only given up 7 earned runs. He's a start for me.
Faces Jose Barrios today.
Since the beginning of May, I think he's got 59 strikeouts to one walk.
Talked about him like a month ago, and we're like, this could be a buy low candidate.
I think he's like third overall in XFIP, and that's something that I really like.
He's got a strikeout total that's at the top of Major League Baseball since that. Yeah. From that point, he faces Jose Barrios.
This should
today.
Be a great game.
Yeah, Chris Sale faces Justin Verlander. So Chris Sale there is that Alex Wood back for the Dodgers. They're throwing today against that's tonight. Some other players out there is that Gio Gonzalez throwing for the Nationals. So. Got some good starters out there today. Keep in mind those two doubleheaders, though. So, George, I'm going to ask you a non-fantasy baseball, non-fantasy football question. Does the NHL playoffs get to a seventh game? Does Stanley Cup Finals get to a seventh game?
Yes. Listen, let's follow the patterns here. Nobody can win on the road, right? So Nashville's won the first two at home. Pittsburgh's won three at home. Nashville wins tomorrow at home. We're going to see a game seven.
Do the Warriors close it out on Monday, Matt?
The Warriors close it out. I hope George is right. We'd love to see a game seven. I mean, I'm really kind of rooting for Nashville. It would be a real great story.
Yeah. Those games are fun to watch down there. I watched game five the other night, which is the wrong one to watch. It was obviously a blowout early. So, you know, I'm hoping for a little bit. Yeah, who doesn't like a game seven? And, like, yeah, I think it's cool if the Warriors win, but, you know, I'll take a little bit more basketball, you know. Although I get a little tired of people making every possession of every Cavs game a referendum on LeBron James's legacy. It's like he's the greatest player alive. So let's just playing.
Yeah, just enjoy him.
Just enjoy it. Like, stop bashing him or thinking that every time he does. I know he didn't make the right play necessarily the other night, but it's okay.
It was the wrong play.
It's okay. He's still averaging triple-double. Guy's great. So... Pete Considori, I'll give you your contribution for the day. Do we get to a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Absolutely. I agree with George. Every team's winning at home. I think we're going back to Pittsburgh for a Game 7.
All right. So there we go. Thanks for listening today, folks. Hopefully we gave you some good information. Fantasy football season's in full swing. I'm just letting you know. We haven't started the games yet, but the drafts are coming. The draft package is coming out. Enter promo code FREERADIO for a special discount when that thing comes out. Mike, Matt, and George, thanks for joining us today. Tony Zuccotta up next. George and I back tomorrow. Have a good day.